Welcome to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
This is Illusion of Difference. I as Creator. It's January 29th, 2021. I'm your host, Elondis Lake, and I have a guest here, Sarah Brent, and we're going to talk about some of the wisdom that she has here. Hello, Sarah. How are you? Welcome to the show.
It's nice to be with you here today, Al.
Yeah, good to have you. And I am very interested and excited about hearing you talk about your experience. So you are in the process of changing, transforming, owning who you are. And that's a lot of what we do here. We create our own lives, but a lot of us don't recognize it. We put power in other places. You took your power and you made a whole new you. You are in the process of transforming your body. And one of the things I'd like to start with is what you expected. We're talking about changing our sex body-wise. And feel free to correct me if I am not expressing ideas in the way they should be. What did you expect before, and where are you in the process?
Well, to start with, I'm a 63-year-old transgender woman. I didn't come out of the closet till I was in my 50s. Came from a stereotypical 60s and 70s and early and late 50s white middle-class family that I had all the nice advantages. Most of my friends were like, oh, I wish I had your parents. They're so much nicer than mine and all this. And everything, you know, it was all the good things that you would want to have from a nice childhood, except that I always felt like I was the round peg in a square hole. You've heard the term square peg in a round hole where, you can't fit unless you force it in and break something. Well, I was the opposite. I was the round peg in the square hole in that I could fit into the role that they wanted me to fit into, but I didn't fill that role properly, and it didn't fit me. I knew in late grade school that I could be attracted to both genders, but I shut that down so fast it made my head spin because I knew that the one thing my father probably could not accept would be the idea of his only son and heir being any sort of queer. He couldn't even talk about the term homosexual without dropping his voice and getting all flustered and embarrassed. It wasn't that he was overtly hostile. It was just like it was a taboo subject for him. And I grew up with the understanding that I was expected to get married and raise kids and carry on the family name and all that. And so I looked at everything as a, you know, hurting that badly to live as a guy and to live as straight. And I just shut it down and didn't try to look at it. And I did what was expected. I got married. I raised a family. I had a lovely daughter. But the whole time, everything just still didn't seem to fit. And I knew from the writing I was doing and from the role-playing games I was doing that I had a really strong feminine component to my mind. Finally, after my parents were both dead, and after my wife of 30 years passed away, I sat down and I did a good deep introspection and looking at my own needs. And I realized I had to look at that side of myself seriously and decide, you know, what's going on here? Am I just gay? Am I transgender? And growing up, I hadn't even known the term transgender. Do I just want to cross-dress? What is this? And so in 2014, I started going out socially as a woman, worked on my voice to make sure that I would sound appropriately and wouldn't sound like some football player was playing ventriloquist with his girlfriend to get a joke on his friends. Because believe me, I had a much deeper, much more masculine sounding voice. And I spent several years basically thinking of myself as gender fluid, in that I could kind of flip a switch and go out there and party in the nightclub scene as a girl and really enjoyed myself. I had more fun with my social life when I went out as a girl than I ever had as a guy. It wasn't even so much a sexual thing. It was more a case of really enjoying the attention, the validation, and the acceptance of me as a female. It suddenly just felt so real. I thought for quite a while that it would probably never go any further than that. That, you know, I'd come home at night, I'd take off all the makeup and take off the false nails and the wig and go back to my daily life and my work and my friends who only knew me as a guy. But I'd still have this secret life of, you know, putting on all that stuff and the breast forms and everything else and going out as a girl and enjoying myself at night with a completely different circle of friends. But I didn't think it would ever go further simply because I didn't think I had insurance that would cover the cost of the transition. I wasn't even that sure that's what I wanted. The longer I spent living female, the more I realized that I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to take off that wig. I didn't want to go back to being the guy. There wasn't a thing in my life that I couldn't do just as happily or more happily as a girl. The breaking point finally came in 2018 when I was at Portland Pride, and I was there actually largely to march in the transgender part of the parade to support the cross-dressing and transgender part of the community. I also got to be the flag bearer for the main parade as part of the military color guard, the all-queer wow. military color guard that they had for the main parade that year. And I was at one of their talks that they had, and I found out that Medicaid in Oregon actually covers transition surgery. Hmm. And it was like this epiphany. It was this light going off saying, hey, sign me up, please. Yeah. If it's not financially impossible, hell yes. And so, like, immediately after that, I talked to my doctor. And I don't, for a couple of years prior to that, ever since I moved out to Eugene in late 2015, I'd been upfront with my new doctor saying, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm transgender. Not sure how far I'm going to go with it, but we'll see. And once I knew that it was financially possible, I went straight to him, got an appointment, and was like, as soon as you can do it, I want to get on the hormones. I want to start the process and get the ball rolling for full transition. And so literally the day after my birthday in August of 2018, I stopped being a guy. I started living full-time as a woman and never leaving the house without looking fully female and acting fully female. My newer friends since I moved here, that I made since I moved here, like you, have never seen me as a guy. The only ones that did see me as a guy were a small handful that were part of a historical recreation group that I belonged to before I moved away from the area. And I touched base with some of my old friends and kind of felt out the situation with them as whether or not they would accept the idea of me as a girl, and found a very accepting community among them as well. So now I'm in a state where after 2.5 years of being on hormones, I just had my top surgery, and I'm lined up to have the bottom surgery probably in another 8 months to a year, and couldn't be happier. The hormones did some pretty good things for me in terms of helping me feel more like myself, suppressing the testosterone, and some of those effects by themselves managed to give me some breast tissue, but not much. I would fill maybe an A cup or an A plus. There was enough there that there was a reason to have a bra on. I probably would have drawn stares if I went around topless, but it wasn't in good proportion to the width of my shoulders or the size of my rib cage. I mean, you look around, you try to find size 40A bras. It's a specialty item. You don't find it. You just don't. you got to go hunting for those. And so I knew that I was comfortable padding myself out to a C size or maybe a D size. And during the time while I was on the hormones, I experimented with exactly what size felt comfortable. And by the time that I finally got to talk to a surgeon about that, which was a lovely lady up at Oregon Health Sciences University in Portland, Dr. Juliana Hansen up at OHSU, she was wonderful, very supportive, talked to me very honestly and frankly about exactly what it would entail. She agreed that I was of excellent condition for the surgery and an excellent candidate for that kind of surgery, that I was the kind of person that she really enjoyed getting to do it for because it was obvious right up front that I would benefit a lot from it. So I went up there and I told her, I want to go to a nice full C cup. I don't want to be overblown. I don't want to look like I'm trying to be some pole dancer or something like that. I just want to look like a normal woman who, you know, you look at her and the first thing you think of is female. I just want to be one of the girls and be accepted. I also had a huge, huge benefit in that when I first started going out as a woman, I actually got accepted almost immediately into the lesbian community. Everywhere that I went, the lesbians saw the woman in me before I even really fully acknowledged it myself. And they realized, you're not just acting like a woman, you are. We know. If we didn't, we wouldn't be inviting you to our dances and our parties. We wouldn't be chatting with you socially and all this. No, you're there. You're already there. It's just your body's kind of lagging behind. Yeah, you're a girl. We know it. And you know it now, too. So everything's cool. I identify now as primarily lesbian. I mean, guys are okay, but they're not really where my head's at.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've gotten the top part done now. I'm looking forward to getting the bottom part done so there's no surprise package if I start dating.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it more acceptable to my lesbian friends that they're not dealing with anything they're uncomfortable with. I am just so much looking forward to my new life.
You're living it now.
Oh, yeah. I'm already living the life I want. I mean, legally, I'm already female. My driver's license, my birth certificate, my legal name, even my passport have all been legally female for a while now. For over
That's
a year.
Great.
Things that I do use, my insurance, my Veterans Administration records, my as far as VA healthcare, Medicaid, banking, all the things that I'm currently using, say I'm a girl. And if you look at me on the street, I mean, most people, I can interact with just about anybody. I don't get the, oh, wait, are you a guy? It's largely just because I'm just letting my mind be free and letting myself be me. 2015, when I first started going out daytime, I had my daughter shadow me when we went on a trip to the mall. And I'm all dolled up. We actually went out together and had makeovers at Sephora and got ourselves all prettied up. And then we spent the entire afternoon shopping at the biggest mall in Austin, Texas, walking around, having fun. Later that night, having dinner at Cheesecake Factory. And the waitress there was a doll. I mean, she sized me up and said, damn, I love it when a tall girl rocks this pair of heels. Because she was like 5'10 herself, and I was actually taller than her in my 4-inch heels. And when the day was over, my daughter said, you know, there's a reason why you're pulling this off so well. It's your attitude. Everything about your body language, everything about your attitude to how you're approaching everything says female. They're looking at you and they're seeing the girl because it's there. And fortunately, my general appearance, aside from being 5'10" and having fairly broad shoulders, is androgynous enough. The top surgery and bottom surgery, I could go out and rock a bikini and not draw stairs and still, you know, be accepted as totally female because I'm entirely within the normal parameters, you know, at the high end of size for a lot of things, but I'm entirely within the normal parameters for any cisgender woman, for any woman that was born that way and raised that way. there's so many of my transgender sisters that aren't that fortunate that even with surgery, no matter what you do, you're going to look at them and say, okay, you're living your truth, girl, and I'm happy for you. But everybody's going to look at you and know. A lot of them don't even try to change their voice because it's a pointless cause. But I'm blessed. I mean, I was able to change my voice. My physical appearance is close enough to norms. I get people telling me I'm beautiful, and it's wonderful. And that validation just means so much. I'm just so much looking forward to the future of my life.
Well, I have a question that I'd like to throw out there, and
sure.
I'll tell a little bit about myself. Growing up, I wanted to be a boy. That's what I was, a boy. I wasn't a girl coming up wanting to do girl things. I was out in the yard digging and shooting like cowboys and Indians and all of that kind of thing.
You were my flip side.
Exactly. And I went to Catholic school, so that was like so much of a brain F, lack of a better word. As far as trying to be who you are or just following your natural inclination of picking up a baseball rather than a doll to play with. It wasn't anything
right.
huge. It was just naturally gravitate toward. But then as I got older and socialized in a certain way, I did the marriage and kids and all of that. I have four beautiful daughters, lovely. And I wouldn't miss that for anything, but I do miss what I might have been today if I had that freedom that was kind of not there. It just wasn't to be who I was at the moment and move down that track.
For our generation, it was almost impossible. I mean, you know, growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s,
mm-hmm.
very different thing.
Yes. There was Beaver and I Love Lucy, that thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're all heterosexual and, you know, comfortable and all of that. I came out as lesbian after, because there was always something missing, and I didn't know what. And it was me.
Uh-huh.
I was missing in my life. And that's where I want to connect with you as well, because you recognize that, and you connected it with your physical body and making that match what you feel inside. And I never really had that dialogue with myself. So it's like we're the flip side of everything, only you took it and ran with it, and I took it and made it something different that I could live with and still be female, if that makes sense. Was there any type of struggle inside you or that you could share? Because I'm sure that we're not the only two people on the planet who had this.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that delayed my my coming out, other than the fact that I just did not want to deal with coming out to my dad. My mom probably would have accepted, but she passed before he did. My dad, I just didn't want to destroy that relationship with him because it was so good on every other grounds. But like I said, I got married, and I was always upfront with the lady that I married. I told her, I know that by inclination I'm probably bisexual. Perfectly happy to have a monogamous straight relationship with you. I can be fulfilled by that, and I'll be honest. There's going to be times that we're mm-hmm. watching a movie and we're both going to be saying the same guy in the movie is a real hunk. I remember both of us commenting on Kevin Costner in Dances with Wolves and laughing that we both had the same opinion. But while I was still married to her, I had that commitment going, and I just knew that if I came out to her and said, I think I need to be a girl, that she would not have been of a mind, even though she had gay and lesbian friends, she would not have been of a mind to put herself in a position where people were seeing her as lesbian because she was suddenly married to a woman. Also during that time, as I was starting to feel the transgender urges, one of my coworkers, this would have been about 8 years before I came out, one of my coworkers came out as transgender. And so I watched the process of a guy that I had always known as a guy, slowly but surely starting to come to work in flats and slacks, and one day coming to work and he's got a name tag on that says Samantha. Had a couple of kids. I actually did the research back then and looked into exactly what it takes medically to do a full transition. And at that point, I was kind of like, well, I don't know if I could even do that. That's a scary thing. I mean, it's the lower surgery, especially, it's like playing origami with your most intimate parts. It actually results in functional genitals. You know, I can't have a baby, obviously. But honestly, once I'm done with the lower surgery, I'll have more functional female genitals than my little sister, who's 5 years younger than me, because menopause has taken away her pleasure at doing that. And all I'll need is a little bit of lube, and I'll be good. And that's probably too much information, but it's there.
No, I mean, not at all.
It's a very real part of it.
That's and it's a question that people have, and they're not comfortable necessarily about raising that question, even with their doc.
There's some important things to think about here too. Is, you know, not every person who identifies as transgender ever does the surgeries or ever should.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that just need to change their identity and be accepted publicly as a woman or as a man, and they don't need to change what's in their panties, because aside from their mate, nobody else is going to see it. You know, and in some cases, sex might not be important at all to them. Like I said, for me, it's the personal validation. I'd love to have another lover at some point, to have another life mate like I did for 30 years with my wife. But I'm complete in myself, living my own truth. I don't need to have that other person to complete me. And the people that are listening to this need to understand, if you've got friends that are transgender, the subject of what medical things you have or have not done is pretty much a taboo subject unless they tell you they're willing to be open about it. Because basically, if you're not being intimate with them, you don't need to know. It's one of the things that I'm very honest with people about. If they're looking like they want anything more than a hug, I make sure they know. I will never be a trap. I will never be the person that dresses up like a girl and gets all lovey-dovey with somebody. And, oh, by the way, I'm really a guy. No, that's not fair to me. It's not fair to them. It's a really good way to get yourself beat up or even killed. There's way too much violence out there against trans people already without egging it on by making somebody believe that you were leading them on. For me, the critical thing on, do I want to go all the way with this? Do I want to do those surgeries? Was the fact that I want to be able to go out and live every aspect of my life, including, you know, if I want to go camping and I want to use the women's showers at the state park, or I want to go out to a gym and use the ladies' locker room, or go out to a public swimming pool and use the ladies' changing facilities. I don't want to have to be sitting there playing hide behind a towel or that sort of thing to make sure that nobody's going to suddenly point and stare and go, oh my God, look at that. I just want to be me, no matter how much I am wearing or not wearing, no matter what situation I'm in, to be able to get onto a plane and not have the TSA agents go, we see a strange mass in your groin area there. We need to check that out. That's me. I'm sorry. I haven't had the surgery yet. One of the reasons I will not fly right now is because I'm not complete in that regard. Even though I've got a passport, even though I could do TSA early check-in and probably avoid the scanners, I don't want to risk that. I just don't want to go through that. There are arts involved in doing the change. I mean, it's surgery is surgery, and especially as you get older, it's something you got to consider. You know, how much value is there? There's also the question of, do you just want the outside appearance, or do you want the vagina as well? They can go either way. They can do either no depth or full depth. For somebody that identifies solely as lesbian or who doesn't care about sex, you can have a lot less medical complications involved if you don't have the depth, if you just have the external appearance. And you can get pleasure from that.
Oh, yeah.
For me, I'm just sufficiently bisexual that I want my options open, and we'll see.
No one knows, that's for sure. All we can do is take one day at a time and hope. So I'm curious about the hormones. Mm-hmm. When I was working in churches, I helped people who were trans. And at that time, the hormones, it was back in the 90s. They probably have changed since, I would think. What can you share with the listeners about that?
I didn't really look into exactly which hormones were going to be prescribed until a few years before I actually did my transition. I am a member of several support groups for transgender people and for cross-dressers. There are websites out there for people that are cross-gender or are gender fluid or that sort of stuff. There is a wonderful organization here in our area called Transponder that helps people who are non-binary or transgender or gender fluid to live their truths and find the resources they need. I can give you a list of links that we can refer people to when the interview is over. There are some things that some of the other people have had to go through that I don't. There are some people that when they get their hormones, it's an injectable thing that they have to give themselves shots. There are some hormones that will get prescribed that don't get prescribed for everybody. With me, I've only got two hormones that I'm on. I'm on one that's a testosterone blocker, and I'm on another one that's an estrogen supplement. That's all I need. The testosterone blocker has brought my testosterone level down to like a tenth of what it was when I was fully male. The estrogen has brought me up to well above what the average postmenopausal woman is, enough that it allowed me to grow breast tissue and allowed the nipple area on my breast to look like a normal woman's nipple area and not like a guy's. And that actually took more than 2 years of being on the hormones before that finally decided, oh, yeah, I guess we'll enlarge a little bit. I was seriously wondering at 2 years in, am I going to have some extra tattooed around there in order to look right? I know people on the forums that have had to do that. That they wanted that circle to look the right size, they had to have it tattooed on. It is a stretch and it's strange. But it's become a daily routine. I mean, twice a day I take pills, testosterone blocker and two of the estrogen. Over the period of time that I have been doing that, it calmed me down. It helped me to feel more relaxed about being myself. Friends that have known me socially over a period of several years, I can see feminization happening in your face. I can see the curves softening and the cheekbones getting more prominent. We're not talking about bone structure changes, but where the soft tissue changes that are possible are happening, that I'm looking more female now than I did 2 years ago. Another huge thing that I did in terms of taking charge of my life, and it's something that I'll be covering in my column in the e-newsletter version of Illusion of Difference, my Butterfly Dreams column, is I took a huge investment of my own personal time and effort in getting my weight under control. I had gotten up to the point where I was 229 pounds and wearing a size 18 to 20 dress at the start of 2020. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, no more. Girl, if you want to go through with this, if you want the surgeries and everything, you do not need them telling you, well, we can't do the surgery because you've got too high a body mass index. What's the use of even doing this if I can't have a figure that shows it off? I had a 30-inch waistline in high school, and I had a 44-inch waistline in January 2020. No more. This is not going to happen. And so I started walking every day. I started watching my diet, getting in at least 30 minutes of exercise every day. As of the end of 2020 and the start of 2021, I'm now wearing a size 8, and I'm now down to 185 pounds.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I've got a 32-inch waist.
Whoa. Well, you know, I want to thank you so much for being here and for sharing so freely, because this is something that helps people. You don't even know them, because this kind of information, this one-on-one information, sharing that kind of story is not often available.
And we're a very small segment of the population. I mean, like I said, my whole life, until like 8 years before I started my own journey, I'd never ever met a transgender person. I'd heard of it.
No, it's a new one. You might have, but you just didn't know.
Now I know a lot more. I mean, being active in the queer community helped that a lot. There's a lot of us here in the Eugene area. But it's something the average person on the street just doesn't meet.
Exactly. And people who are out there who need it, they're difficult even now to get it.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to more conversations with you, my friend.
I'm going to say goodbye and love you. Love you, my friend.
Love you, too. Thank you for having me.
Tune in next time. This is Illusion of Difference. I, as creator.
Thank you for listening. This has been Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Alondis Lake. Join us again. Continue to learn how to take charge in every situation, every challenge.